One of our listeners, Evan, hits me up. He says, Dukes, you taking calls? Yes, we are always taking your calls. Guys, we want to hear from you. 404-726-0929. He says, can I hit you up on the text line? Yes, you can.
Just don't suck.
It's the same number. You're right. 404-726-0929. So, Evan, if you want to call, you got a comment or two about any of the things we're discussing, you are more than welcome, man. This is what it's about, because this is a very interesting time right now in our city. As we said, think about this. We're turning over our football's front office, our football team's front office. We're about to trade the biggest star that's been in our city since Dominique when you talk about basketball.
Right.
Okay. Whether you love him or hate him, that's just the facts.
Hey, got a new manager with the Braves.
Dogs didn't make the playoff, or, you know, did, but then got beat. And, Mike, you're wondering, like, this portal and how this is going to shake out with all these moves and things that are happening. And we have a crazy portal story that we're going to tell you about coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. And it just really defines this era of what this is. But there's just a lot of stuff. And, by the way, Georgia Tech, don't want to leave our Georgia Tech folks out. Mike, new hires for Coach Key. He's having to replace some key pieces.
Yeah, George Godsey. I know we had talked about him initially. One word came out that Buster Faulkner was going to be out. George had been an OC for the Texans in the NFL, big connection to Bill O'Brien. And the last few years, he was on the staff of the Ravens as the tight ends coach.
Sure was.
And George, again, it's when Georgia Tech was beating Georgia, you know, it's like 2 out of 3 years. And George had a great run as a quarterback after Joe Hamilton. So, by the way, congratulations to Goose, who's back in town.
Goose! Yeah, man. Y'all got a good one.
I like George. I think George is a great fit.
Good one.
I'm excited about him.
I
now,
am too.
He's going to find out who's going to be throwing and who's going to be catching.
Well, they got to find a quarterback. I mean, look, all these guys know that. You're right. But Georgia Tech, that a lot of turnover with the coaching staff and players, they got to figure it out. Like, there's just a lot going on right now. Speaking of Evan, look, I say call. He does. He is in North Dakota, Mike, listening on the app.
Hey.
Evan, welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, what's on your mind?
Sorry, I added you guys on Twitter, but I've been trying to call in. I didn't know when you guys were taking calls.
So it's
I
all good.
Keep taking the call. I just have to ask, like, in these interviews with all these coaches, you know, everybody's talking about what is the most attractive job. But when you start talking like that, do the Falcons really have any leverage? Because I just have to believe that this consulting firm came in and completely swayed Arthur's opinion maybe on Terry and Raheem and said, hey, they didn't get this quarterback situation.
Right.
But if you're Kubiak or you're any of these coaches, I mean, they hold the leverage coming in and saying, hey, I want whatever resources I want to go and get my guy, whether, you know, Kubiak comes in and goes and gets, you know, somebody from Seattle or somebody that's comfortable in that system, or if you're saying, hey, we're going to allocate the funds towards Kirk until Penix is really truly ready. So I just wanted to get you guys' opinion, or if they try to go out and get somebody like Ty Simpson, who just declared for the draft today. It's interesting to me, and I really want to get your guys' opinion on who holds the leverage in these interviews.
Well, I mean, the team that offers the most money in some cases, that'd be the first way to go with this. But you're right. We asked the question earlier, you may have missed it, is does Arthur and the group come in with an agenda, I'm sorry for lack of a better word, Carl, to any potential head coach or general manager that you've got to make it work with Michael Penix Jr.? Or do they take the input from the potential interviewee and say, yes, okay, you don't believe in Penix Jr.? Okay, we'll go to work. See, that's a big piece of it, man. But that's a great question. I mean, there are more attractive jobs. Jackson Dart is more attractive as a quarterback than Michael Penix Jr. There's no two ways around it.
Yeah, I think... Evan, and thanks for listening on the app, man. You can too. It's the Odyssey app. Go to 92.9 The Game, click on Dukes and Bell, and you can listen each and every day. And it's a great way to stay up on everything that's going on. And, you know, you can take it wherever you are. When you talk about leverage, you're asking these interviews. Look, I think the more, for example, John Harbaugh is going to have more leverage, okay, than a Clint Kubiak, who's never been a head coach in the NFL, simply because he can say, here are the people that we did it with. This is how I did it. This is what we did. This is what I'm going to need. Clint Kubiak can lay out his vision for you, but when you talk about leverage, John, if you're going to hire him, you're going to be more likely to give in to whatever he's wanting. Much more so than a first-time head coach where you go, hey, here's our situation. Do you think you can make it work? So I think a lot of times it just happens to come down to Mike mentioned Mike McCarthy. McCarthy's got leverage, guys. He's a winner in this league. Whether you like him, you think he failed in Dallas? Yes. But guess what? He's going to go into these interviews with a lot of confidence and say, here's what I need to win. And if you want me, this is what needs to happen.
Right. But, I mean, this was the debate we were having because D-Led made it sound like, you know, there's nothing here. You know, I mean, the quote, as I said, and guys like Mike, you keep saying thread the needle. Do metaphors not fly anymore in 2025? In other words, it will be very hard to thread the needle to get it's a very finite amount of ability and talent and circumstances to get the quarterback situation right. Okay, how about that? It's going to be hard to figure it out. That's why I said the best case scenario is somebody comes in, has a system that fits better what Michael Penix Jr. can do or makes Michael Penix Jr. fit to his system, but you get the production. And then here we go. We're off and running. We got 2 more years, and then you can figure out picking up his option. And then in the meantime, you'd maybe have a Jameis or whoever start those first 2 games.
Yeah.
It's not how you start the season, Carl. It's how you finish, right?
It is.
Talk to a couple of teams. Talk to the Jaguars. How about Trevor Lawrence, how he's looking these days? So that's interesting to me is how do you get this quarterback thing and how important is that? Or does somebody look at this team and go, I got Bijan, I got Drake, got a bunch of fire breathers on defense. This team is ready to roll, you know? Another thing, some of these guys, Carl, newsflash to the listeners, have egos. I can make it work.
True enough. True enough.
I got the guys. I got a system.
And that's the selling point for Kubiak. Because if I'm Clint Kubiak, I go, look, here's the deal. I'd like for you guys to go look at Sam Darnold's numbers between 2018 and 2023. And then I want you to look at what he did in Minnesota before coming to play for me. He's had arguably his second best season in Seattle under me. And, Mike, the selling point is I can make it work. A lot of people thought this guy was a failure in New York and Carolina. He goes to San Francisco, doesn't even hardly play.
Right.
Gets revitalized in Minnesota, and guess what? We took him because I felt like I could work with him and continue his success. And look where we're at. We're the number one seed. Like, that's the selling point. So, look, everybody's got something that they're bringing to the table. But I also think when you ask the question, Evan, about leverage, it's a matter of where you are in your career and what you think the team is going to be able to give you. And there are going to be some of these guys, Mike. Again, I think if you're a first time opportunity, you can't come in, demand the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars.
Well, that's just it. I mean,
you can't.
But that's why some people would say a guy like McCarthy, and we said it. Now, a guy just hit me up on Twitter. He said, hey, Cleveland stinks. He goes, Stefanski's a good coach.
He is.
You know, and he was dealt some pretty crappy hand. You know, when you think about the Deshaun Watson deal, you know, Chubb got injured. The wide receivers were hit or miss.
We talk about our quarterback situation. Kevin Stefanski has been in the quarterback business for 7 years. That's just completely unfair for a guy. And remember, Deshaun Watson, his last best season, I think, was 2018 or 2019.
Right.
So you talk about, like, that's the answer, then it's not. Then you go another route, it's not. And now I'm like, I'm trying to figure it out. I think he did get dealt a very raw hand, but I also feel like with that hand, he still was coach of the year twice.
Now, they say, in case you're wondering, because we used to have this argument with Bo Morgan, who you know, here on the morning shift, was our producer. We used to say that, you know, it's not Baker's fault. He's got too many coaches. The story is from friends of mine in Cleveland that Baker, Carl, and Stefanski were tight, and then things went south.
Okay.
And then they didn't trust each other. He didn't trust his play calling. And it just seemed like it just disintegrated and went bad. Now, is that also a byproduct of how immature Baker was at the time?
Probably.
It's 4 years ago.
Probably.
So, but there's no clean-cut guy. I mean, why did Harbaugh get fired? You know, is Kubiak ready yet? Is McCarthy washed up? You know, what's Stefanski ever done in his life? So these are the questions. Then you've got, like, that second tier. Guy said to me, he says he thinks Flores is not going to get the opportunity because of the lawsuit with the NFL. So I mentioned that earlier.
So you think he's going to be blackballed?
I think that now the Athletic story the other day was that Tom Brady is interested in bringing Brian Flores into Vegas. And then, you know, the owner, they'll say, whatever you say, Tom. But that's interesting. And the Raiders have been thumbing their nose at the league for decades, going back to his dad.
Do they have the balls to do that? Let's talk to Chuck in Atlanta. Chuck is up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chuck, what's on your mind, man? Hey, man.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good, boss.
First of all, I want to say one thing across the board on all sports. Patience. Nobody has patience to see if somebody can develop. But and that hurts everybody. My point is, every play that's designed on offense is for a touchdown. Every play on defense is for no gain. So you got to execute it. You got to plan. Sometimes coaches have a great plan but don't have an execution. Mm-hmm. So it's not always about the coaching, but it is about the coaching putting the player in the proper position to win. And then you got to have athletes to carry it out. But on the professional level, most of these guys are good enough to do it. So I'm not so much concerned with the coach but with the coach's mentality on how he wants to run the Falcons, who he wants to use, and can he plan it effectively to get the best out of the Falcon people.
Right. Accountability. I don't know where you fall as a fan, but I always felt like, Raheem, there was no accountability with special teams. You know, yeah, I mean, we benched Kadarrell Hodge once, big whoop. I mean, you know, there was the detail stuff, and that part of that is what I think what the caller's talking about.
I agree. By the way, I don't think we mentioned it yesterday, but for those who are interested, Ike Hilliard, guys, is headed out to Cal. He's going to be the coach out there. I think he's a co-offensive coordinator out there at Cal. So if you're wondering, is he in the NFL? What happened to him? Obviously got let go here early in the season, but Mike, he's going to be coaching out there. I'm with you on that, 200%. Chuck, appreciate the call. You can dial us up, 404-726-0929.
In case you're wondering, they got a new coach in there who took over, but Ron Rivera is the GM for the Cal Bears. So Ron Rivera respected Ike Hilliard, at least if he had input on getting the hire.
Yeah, he's bringing in some NFL guys. I mean, and we're seeing more and more of that in college, obviously. But I don't know what happened, so I had no issues with Ike. All I know is we didn't fulfill what we should have fulfilled when it comes to the receiving core as a group.
And some of the receivers, and that crossed over, and the backup receivers, it crossed over to the special teams. There was all these cryptic messages on social media, so who knows? And I saw Ray Ray was chirping the other day after our coach got fired.
What'd he say?
Just, you know, ha.
Tables turn?
Yes, that was it, right?
Yeah, something like that. You know what? And sometimes you don't have to say what you mean to say. It just... Or you just say things like that. Them tables turn. They did. And he's talking about Rock getting let go. Hey, man, coming up, by the way, we are going to get a chance to talk to our buddy Steve Weiss from NFL Network. We'll get his thoughts on all of this stuff as we continue to kind of chop it up and talk with you about it. Because
hey, sorry, I did fine. I apologize, guys. One thing about dem tables. That was Ray.
Oh, that's what it was. I thought it was turning tables turn or something like that.
One thing about dem tables.
Okay. Well, then that was the next line. Dem tables turn. I'm curious to see what
Steve Weiss
is a
screenwriter for The Wire?
Well, you know what? Look, like again, sometimes you just don't have to say everything you need to say. And for Ray Ray, I'd like for him to let it go. Like, Mike, these are one of these situations, and I, you know, there is no winner or loser, but you kind of won, right? You got let go. All right, you ended up being on another team. I know you didn't have the kind of NFL season you wanted last year. Ray Ray McCloud will be in the NFL next year with somebody else. But whatever those hard feelings were about how this all went down, you won.
One of our Texas. Thank you, Michael. Yeah, man. HBTFD says Saints with Rattler, quarterback, zero weapons to speak of, injuries, nightmare cap. It's a miracle they won five games. Talking about Clint Kubiak 2 years ago when he was the OC for New Orleans.
It is a miracle.
And then taking over this last year, obviously, and Seattle's the number one seed in the NFC.
Yeah. I'm with them on that. And now it feels like maybe that Tyler Shook kid might be the guy for them. Either way, we got more to dive into. What did we learn yesterday, if you missed the show, and you should not have, about the Kirk Cousins situation? I think it's important for all of us to put this in perspective and understand it may not be what you think it is. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, we're going to give you the latest on what's going on with Trae Young. This is very fluid, guys, and maybe it happens before we get to the trade deadline. It is Dukes and Bell. Shams is reporting that Trae Young has the Wizards as his top preferred trade destination. That changed in about 24 hours, didn't it? I mean, seriously, we had like three teams and, you know, four teams, and all of a sudden, remember, part of this is, if you're Trae, I want to go somewhere that has the ability to pay me long term. Once I get the contract, Mike, if I want up out of there, maybe I can maneuver that, but you have to go somewhere that you are going to get paid and they're going to be willing to give you a contract. Here's the thing. The Wizards are terrible, okay? I mean, like, if you go and if you look at their roster, Mike, it's not appealing.
Right. And we get McCollum back with his expiring contract.
Correct, because that's more likely what you're going to end up getting, and probably some pick as well. But they're not one of the teams in the Eastern Conference that has a chance to do jack diddly squat. They've won 10 games this year. So what Trae is saying, if this is in fact true, and I believe Shams, then I just want out. Like, Mike, I'm not even going to force my hand to go to one of these other T-Wolves or, hey, Lakers or Clippers. Or screw it. I just want out. That's what this feels like. And so we will see where this goes. But for us, as the Hawks and the Hawks fans who care about this, and I know many of you do, Mike, if you don't do anything, and many of you are like, well, why do we have to do this? Because he can walk at the end of the year and you get nothing for him.
So that's why they got to go and do it. Just like we talked yesterday about Al Horford. Remember Al Horford? And that was one that was just, you know, as mishandled as it can be mishandled, because you got nothing.
Yep.
So, yeah, C.J. McCollum, and again, I was talking with Carl earlier about, you know, Porzingis. Guy asked me, where's Porzingis? He's played four games since Thanksgiving. He did play the last two, New York and then Toronto. He hasn't played more than 30 minutes since November 22nd. So I call me crazy. I just assume that he will be dealt at the deadline.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Look, and here's what's crazy, too.
I mean, unless this is the greatest sandbag of all time and he's ready to go give you night in, night out in the dog days of March and April when you're trying to, you know, make the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about divisions, Mike, in football a lot, but we rarely do in basketball. But the Wizards are in our division. I mean, they're in the Southeast. Orlando, Miami, us, Charlotte, Washington, which means if you trade him, and this is the one of those things, right? Yo, you never trade a guy in their own division. I don't think they care. I don't know if he cares. I don't think that's part of this. I think this is just an end result. Either way, more on this to come. We'll let you hear the comments of Shams and his reporting on this. Mike, yesterday we had our buddy Joel Corey on. We were both saying, hey, is there any way that Kirk Cousins can come back? I want you to hear what Joel Corey said, capologist, former agent, in regards to the modification of Cousins' contract.
He's gone. The reason you make this maneuver is for a post-June 1 designation. The Saints did the exact same thing 2 years ago with Michael Thomas. Last year, the 49ers did it with Javon Hargrave. Because he's got the salary guarantee of $10 million, you weren't going to be able to cut him before the league year started and take all the acceleration sooner rather than later, because the guarantee would move into the 2025 league year. This transaction actually took place before the final regular season game, because under the CBA, in order to use a Post-June 1 designation, you can't make any modifications to a contract after the last regular season game. So this was done before the Falcons played the Saints.
Joel Corey talking about Kirk Cousins.
Right, and we went round and round because we had a lot of folks out there going, no, we're done. He's out the door. And we had other folks feeling that, you know, there was still some wiggle room to get Cousins back. If you couldn't, as I said yesterday, Carl, find traction, right, in free agency and bringing somebody else in. And we wanted to hear it from a guy who's done it, and he's pretty definitive. He feels that's it. The groundwork has been laid. The Cousins is off the books with the minimal cap hit.
He also talked about why Cousins would not want to return to the Falcons next season. Listen to this.
No, here's one of the reasons he did it. You squatted on his rights last year when he wanted out.
Right.
So you're not able to do it now by the way they've structured it, because he's going to have that massive guarantee hit the books for 2027, hit the books on the third day of the 2026 league year. That ensures he's gone. Your benefit is you get $32.9 million of immediate cap relief. If you'd done nothing with his contract and you were still going to use a post-June 1 designation on him, you would have been carrying what was a $35 million base salary on the books until June 2nd. That would have been removed at that point. The $10 million roster bonus is never being removed because that's fully guaranteed. That already stays there. So it wasn't going to affect your dead money, ultimately, for post-June 1 designation, whether done without this maneuver or not. It's still going to be 22.5 in 26 and then 12.5 in 27. But you get the immediate cap flexibility now because you got a little over $300 million in cap commitments for 2026. And you've got, I think, like 38 players under contract. The top 51 count against the cap, and the cap is going to be probably between $300 and $305 million for the 2026 league year.
Obviously, Joel Corey referring to the cap number going up, which will give teams more flexibility. So whatever you think we have to spend now, it probably will be more, and we don't know, Mike, who else they're going to let go. But as far as the Cousins situation, that is why he said, and I hope you follow that, why Kirk would not probably want to return to the Falcons next season.
And for the bean counter folks out there, there's lots of you guys out there, the current SpotTrack rankings has us at 16.
Okay.
In cap space after the Matt Ryan move.
Middle of the road.
I'm sorry, it's the Kirk Cousins move.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep, so right now, middle of the road. Right now, it would be $37 million in cap space. Now, in case you're wondering, you said who's an attractive job? Having cap space and millions and millions, and being the number one team cap space has never really been, let's be honest, a corollary with making the playoffs next year. Remember the year the Eagles had that free agent team they put together?
You're right.
Back in the day? Tennessee's got more money than anybody, $113 million. The Vegas Raiders got $110 million. But where it is interesting, the Chargers have got a great quarterback. They got some weapons. And all of a sudden, Harbaugh maybe gets to cook. They're the third most cap space right now is the L.A. Chargers.
Mm.
Everybody else is kind of like the Jets, no man's land. The Rams, hey, how about Snyder? Snead, Les Snead, positioned himself pretty well. The Rams have got a lot of cap space.
And they're good.
Again, they're ready to go to augment whatever they're going to do.
Yeah, and they're already really good. One other thing, Mike asked Joel Corey, our capologist, about tagging Kyle Pitts. Listen to what he said.
Yeah, I'd be a little leery of someone who doesn't do anything since his rookie year and then all of a sudden plays great in a contract year. I don't know if the new regime is going to want him. That's the question. We don't know who's the new head coach, who's the GM, what do they think. The tag is going to be a little over $15 million, depending upon where the cap comes in. He's got David Mulligetta as an agent, who also represents Micah Parsons and a whole bunch of safeties in the NFL. I suspect he's looking north of T.J. Hockenson, who is the third highest paid tight end at $16.5 million per year. But I would be a little leery of Pitts just because he disappeared for 3 years.
Mm. You agree?
Well, this is, again, we always, our buddy Johnny used to say, the view from 30,000 feet. There it is. There's a guy saying, look, he was good, then he kind of disappeared. Now, we know why. There was an injury that almost took a second full year to get over. And then there's just the drops, and then there's the want to. There's the times where, we hear it from some of the analysts that watch, and, I think Greg Olson's a pretty good qualified guy to speak about tight ends, not running crisp routes, not doing the blocking. Dave Archer talked about that the other day in the run game. So he's intriguing. He's tantalizing because of what you saw at the end of the season. What you saw is, if you just watch tape him against Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you'd say he's Kellen friggin' Winslow.
Yeah, you right? Are. Right, right.
Back up to Brick's truck.
I'm real hesitant as well. I've been hesitant. Early in the year when he wasn't doing anything, I said I can't pay him, right? And then he came on.
Right.
Mike. Well, but let me say this. You said to me, you couldn't look at these last four games for Ra and define his tenure. Can you look at these last five games for Kyle Pitts and define his tenure?
No, it's the same boat. It's the same. Now, look, he made, as far as like the eye test, he made some tougher catches when Kirk Cousins was out there.
Challenging, yeah.
And I've talked about, I asked Zach about it, about does he tune out when he's not involved? And Zach, of course, wouldn't give a straight answer to that. I asked Zach how disappointed you were about the drop in Berlin. That's the thing. That's what we talk about accountability. I know you don't want to bruise ego. Sometimes I like to say, yeah. He blew it. Have somebody just say, I dialed up a hell of a play. We didn't execute, which is, I get it. You're not going to get that kind of brusque response, but sometimes you just like to hear people tell it like it is.
Sometimes.
As opposed to we're going to look at the tape when the special teams fails and fails and fails after all week in, week out.
Yep. So there it is. That's where we sit with the Cousins situation. If things change, they do. But the Falcons have set themselves up, Mike. I think they put themselves in a really good spot. They didn't wait. You heard Joel Corey say there was a window they needed to do this, and they did it. That was the reasoning behind this. But it helps out both parties as far as Kirk wanting to, if he wants to move on and he doesn't see himself here, whatever. But the money, just from the money aspect of things, Joel Corey saying this is why they did this, and this is why they're ready to move on. 404-726-0929. Coming up, you're going to hear Shams Charania talk about Trey Young. New development in the Trey Young trade rumors. And apparently, they're heating up. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, we're talking about how crazy the portal is. It just got even crazier. We'll also fill you in on a quarterback who is leaving and a quarterback who announces he's coming back. That's on the way in the 4 o'clock hour in about 20 minutes from now. But Day-Day, what is going on today, man? What's on your mind?
Well, first off, I just hope that you guys have been doing your homework.
What?
In regards to what?
To what?
Because we actually
I wasn't told there was going to be a test today.
Well, you're kind of already failing the class.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
We have to do our picks tomorrow, gentlemen.
Let's go, oh! Day-Day.
Oh, no problem. I got the horse right here. His name is Paul Revere. Yeah, I'm an ice cold. It's if you've been following, Day-Day and Carl for the win. And to be the worst guy, last place, get the skunk trophy. It's me and Orin.
We tied both ways here at first and at last.
Well, we've got the national semifinal tomorrow.
Yep.
Game one.
Saw an Indiana fan today, by the way.
Did you?
At Colony Square.
Oh, so wow. Just one?
Well,
they're coming. Or they're here. Or they'll be here today.
I saw there was a guy with an Indiana pullover. I presume he's here for that.
If you're an Indiana fan, 60 years? Like, never?
It's kind of freaky.
You're showing up.
There was an article in the Indianapolis Star. I was going to save it for Guy Talk, but just real quick, about a guy that was literally going to take a mortgage out. They talked about
come?
A man on the street and about because he's been living his whole life for this. They've been the worst football team in college for years.
Wow.
So he's going to go to everything he can.
I actually have in our neighborhood group chat, someone just put in there that they have tickets, lower level tickets, for sale. Because obviously they probably were assuming someone else was going to
tomorrow night
be there.
Yeah.
You want to go?
Stop it! I do kind of.
I know you got to. I know you want to see this Mendoza kid, right?
In person,
Friday.
The robot.
Are we, are we tomorrow?
No, we're Friday.
We're Friday.
Friday night.
Thursday in the desert.
That's right.
From Bloomington, though, like of course you want to come down here. Like, what's cold and snowing up there? It's damn near 70 today.
Right now.
But to your point, just being a fan of that program, I'm pretty sure half the state is going to try to find a way here.
Let me say something real quick before you get into some other stuff. You know what's funny is when Georgia, the first national championship under Kirby, everybody felt the same way. I got to go to all these games because we may never get back here. We hadn't been here since 80.
Right. Well, if you go to 17, Carl, it was the Rose Bowl out in Pasadena. Then they had the championship game that was here in Atlanta.
Which made it actually perfect if you could do, I mean, if you handled it, the expense of the one not going down the West Coast.
But
the
crazy thing
is. Still one of the greatest games of all time.
Oh, I love. Yeah, that game was bananas. Sony Michel, I mean, that was unbelievable. But fast forward. Now, dog fans.
Spoiled.
We're like, oh, we'll be back next year. It went from Mike to where Indiana is. And I'm not saying, you know, again, Indiana has never been in the position where Georgia has it. There was some history and tradition here. They are just now getting that.
Right.
But the sense was, I got to go to all these games because we may never get back here.
So you feel that Georgia's blasé now?
And now it's like, oh, we'll be back next year.
SEC championship. I'll wait for a playoff.
Yeah, I'll wait for a playoff game. It is funny for dog fans in that way.
Yeah, well, and to your point, on the flip side of this, Miami Ole Miss tickets as of right now is what I'm looking at. Low is $53.
Out there?
Yeah.
Mike, that's a steal.
Well, it's good for Miami fans.
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, how much do you think you can make, you know, detailing cars and tinting windows?
Stop it. All right, going back
selling
to
Indiana. Selling street tacos.
Getting back to Indiana, man. Shout out to Mark Cuban. Look, guys, these guys may be on top for in the mix, I'll say, for a very long time, as long as you've got the guys like Mark Cuban and some of their other contributors. He announced that he's made another donation to the IU Athletics Department specifically for this portal.
Oh,
nice.
And when asked about the amount, because apparently he's always donated to the school, but prior it was just to the school. Last year was his first time donating to the athletics, and then this year he came back, and when asked about the amount, he said, let's just say they're happier this year than last year.
Okay, let me ask you.
And by the way, for guys who don't remember, Carl, I mean, some folks may not remember, Mark Cuban made that money with the audio file, right?
Yes, he did.
It was broadcast, AudioNet. It was broadcast.com. So he wanted to find a way to listen to his Indiana basketball games.
Yes. Right. Correct. And that's what catapulted him to own the Mavs and then all this other stuff he got into. Whatever happened to Indiana basketball?
I know.
No, I'm being serious. Like, there was a time where now it is all about Indiana football, and it is like there's nothing about – I shouldn't say nothing, but there's very little about Indiana basketball when you talk about the pecking order of things. Cuban would have gave that money away 20 years ago to the basketball program,
right?
Mm-hmm. Now you're telling me he's giving it to the athletic program, the football program, and he probably gave him a bunch of money.
Yeah. All right, let's do a quick pop quiz hot shot. Yeah, Orin, who is the Indiana basketball head coach?
I know who the last one is.
Who is the Indiana – answer the question.
They just fired Mike.
Mike, I don't know who it is now.
Yeah.
I thought about that question.
Darian DeVries.
Maybe that's part of the issue.
I don't know.
Maybe that's part of the issue.
Tom Crean to Mike Woodson to Darian DeVries.
But to your point, last night I'm watching TCU, and this is me having my old man get off my lawn moment, but there's no more familiarity. These college, it's even worse than basketball, like when it comes down to guys hitting the portal and all. So you can't really consistently have programs. It's tough, man. I mean, I'm watching Kansas and TCU last night, and I'm like, man, I couldn't name the starting five. Like, there was a time at least for Kansas. Now, TCU, look, I'm never going to probably
Kansas
watch
Kansas has some guys coming
TCU.
Back, too, which is crazy.
Yeah, but I'm watching Kansas, and I'm like, dang, I can't even name the starting five. And I say all that to say I think that's kind of where Indiana has kind of fallen into the, you know, victim of the guys just don't stick around anymore. You know, you're either one and done or you're hitting the portal. And so, yeah, it's hard to have that dominance as a pro. I mean, look at North Carolina.
Who's
just
that?
The other, exactly. Or look at the ACC as a whole.
Yeah, it's not what it was.
You know?
It's not. I mean, Duke is really good. Don't get me wrong, but you're right. I mean, like, night in and night out. And North Carolina, they're good, but that consistent greatness is gone.
It's gone.
And the aura. The aura's not there.
Yeah. I mean, in Duke last year, I mean, just think what they would be now if they kept everybody that was on that team last year.
They had a big win last night, though, against Louisville.
Yeah, they did have that. Basketball. So, anyway, that's that. All right, let's get back to Trae Young because that's kind of more important, I think. Here is the comment.
State your source.
From Shams Charania. This was yesterday when he was
State your source.
With Malika Andrews.
Malika?
Yeah, Malika.
Andrews.
In regards to him, well, now Shams is reporting today, as you guys mentioned, that Washington is his top, you know, prior or, you know, his
destination. The one that makes the most sense, Washington, a bad Washington
But
team.
Here's Shams.
Malika, Trae Young's Hawks tenure is coming to an end. He appears to be in his final days and weeks in Atlanta after 7+ seasons together as the face of that franchise. And I'm told both Trae Young and the Hawks No, he just doesn't fit with the current team anymore. We've seen the Hawks move and turn the page toward this young core of Jalen Johnson, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Dyson Daniels, Onyeka Okongwu. And so both sides now are collaborating on trade talks out of Atlanta, turning the page, seeing where else Trae Young can land to be the lead guard of a franchise elsewhere. And this really started in the offseason when the Hawks decided not to offer a contract extension to Trae Young, and now Trae Young seeking a team that could give him an extension, and also stemming from the fact that the Hawks have played better this season without Young in the lineup. And so here, between now and the trade deadline, the Hawks can either move Trae Young, they can wait for his contract to get to an expiring deal in the offseason when he has a player option, or he opts out, that gives them $40 million in cap space in the offseason. But Trae Young appears to be nearing the end of his career in Atlanta.
Y'all mad about this?
Well, it's another one of those. I said yesterday on social media, Atlanta sports, what if?
Yeah.
You know, what if you had invested in the team, you know, really brought star players in here post 21 conference championship? You know, what if you never did the stupid, don't let wrestlers kid around decision making. Let's never get DeJounte Murray in here. That's what was reported in that Athletic article. You know, Landry Fields was a figurehead. You know, Schlenk did a pretty good job. You know, I thought, you know, it wasn't all bulletproof. I mean, unfortunately, you know, Cam Reddish, that was a great big nothing burger. And DeAndre Hunter was so, Landry, that was so inconsistent. But, I mean, you missed on your picks and you never spent the money. You were trying to do it almost all exclusively through the draft and relatively cheap free agents.
Yeah. And I would say it's probably more of a disappointment versus being mad about it.
Right.
It's just disappointing that, you know, after all this time, they never really could, you know, exceed the expectations that we thought we'd have. And I liken it to a relationship, guys, where you just know it's not there. Like, it was fun in the beginning, you know, when the early courting and all that stuff, but you've realized, like, it's not really going to go anywhere. And I told you guys this last week, I really felt like, and Shams alluded to it in this comment, like, it's just starting to look like Trae no longer fits with this organization and this young core.
What year did Steph go to the playoffs with Golden State? Was it his third year?
No, because he was hurt. I want to say maybe it was his fourth year, Mike.
Because he missed 11-12, he got hurt.
Yeah, he was injured. I'm just sitting here. I'm a little perplexed.
Because we were supposed to be the Warriors.
Correct. We were. Well, I say that. We were being built in their likeness.
Right.
Right? That's what you were hoping. Because the way teams were playing. And you know, they had a lot of success with the pace and space and play pace and shooting threes and all that. Here's the thing. His numbers speak for themselves, Day-Day. 13th highest career scoring average in NBA history. 13th. There's a lot of great players that have come through this league, and he's not even done. He is the third highest career assist average and has the career third highest in NBA history. So, you know, when you start talking about Magic and Stockton, right, and Isaiah, and you start putting his assist numbers in those same categories, somebody asked me, is he really a great player? Yeah, and he's had some really great moments. The problem is, fundamentally, guys, and this is what I said to you probably a few weeks ago, can you win big with him? He's got the third highest turnover rate in NBA history. He turns it over a lot. And the other thing about Trey is, when he's on the floor, this team has a losing record. And I'm not talking about this year, Mike. I'm talking about overall, 221 to 272 in games he's played in. That's a losing record.
Yeah, man. And the thing is, you know, it's tough because it's not his fault they did all those things we talked about or didn't do the things they should have done to make it better. You know, I mean, I said, remember years ago we talked about get John Collins off the books, trade John Collins when there was a value for him.
Yep.
But they waited too long, and then they basically gave him away for next to nothing. You know, we had talked about, you need, for instance, if you wanted to be Golden State East, because that's Travis Link came from that organization. You know, we never found, you know, in the interim to building, you never got in a cool free agent like an Iguodala. Remember that, how he was like a glue guy that early in their run? You never found, obviously, a Draymond. That was a second-round pick. You never found the other Splash Brother for him. You know, Red Velvet wasn't the other Splash Brother. And then even when you signed him to $75 million, you said, oh, no, we're getting close to that salary apron. He's gone. So to me, prove me wrong, Hawks, if you're listening, you just never put your money where your mouth is to make it better.
Yeah.
You almost felt like 2021 was an aberration, and look, you weren't prepared to do the Dutch.
Look, I'll defend Travis Link in this way. He never got a chance to finish his plan, Mike, and when you had the interruption of all the disruption of what we talked about with the front office and who was running it and who wanted to jump in and Suns being involved and all this stuff, he didn't get a chance to finish what the plan was. I would have loved to have seen where he was going, but I said this. Guys, he had trades for Harrison Barnes in place, Mike, that were turned down. No, you can't do it. There were deals that were going to be made that should have improved this team.
Right. Like Siakam coming here.
But they didn't pull him off, right? They didn't
allow him. Siakam didn't want to come here.
So I feel like that is something where I'll defend him. But I do agree with you. Even after he was gone, the people who were in place, specifically Landry Fields, how did you make this team better? 404-726-0929. It's interesting to hear from Shams here as Day-Day has played that soundbite from him today talking about Trey's destination being the Wizards.
I'm sorry to cut you off there. Orange is in my ear saying that Travis Schlenk is consulting with the Wizards now.
He's doing more than that. He's involved. Now, I mean, is he calling the shots? No, he's technically not the GM. But, yes, he is. And at the end of the day, I just feel like this is a play for Trey to get paid the money he thinks he deserves, Mike, moving forward. You're not just going to go to any team that can't pay you.
No, that's just – I mean, it's two things, as we say all the time on the show now. It could be true that Trey – there was a market for Trey that was much more robust than it is now. And it's something – I think you brought this up a few months ago. You know, if you can find that really great defensive team around him, we thought with Dyson Daniels we were doing that. But an undersized point guard, you can exploit in the half court.
Yeah, you can.
You know, you can't. They don't give you 15 timeouts in a half court. We go, okay, now you're on offense. Now you're on defense. Timeout. You can sub him in. So Trey's never been. And remember, we were like patting Trey on the head for going, well, he's getting in the passing lanes. He's never going to be that guy. Well, and the bigger athletic, even the guards can go right at him.
Look, Isaiah Thomas is 6'1". Tough as nails.
He's different. Yeah.
Tough as nails. But he also had dudes around him.
Yeah, solid, rock solid.
That were defenders. And played with Dennis Rodman, Mike, who may have been the best defender in NBA history. I mean, debatable, right? But you talk about the makeup of the team.
It was a defensive mindset. It was warfare.
Different deal. And you can talk about a different era, but you still had to be tough as nails. Guys, these guys were running through screens and getting elbows in the head. It was a different deal. John Stockton, 6'1". I mean, like, you talk about these kinds of guys, but the makeup of the team and the defensive mindset, it was different. That's why Utah was good damn near every year and challenged Jordan for those championships.
Right.
There are guys that you could compare Trey to and say, all right, Trey's bigger than that. He's 6'2". So be it. But that's the kind of guys that we're talking about and the makeup of the team that you need around him.
Right.
To really take it to the next level. And if it's not going to be that, it can't be one dude on the team saying, yeah, I'm all defense. What about the rest of y'all?
Right. And that's like Dyson Daniels is kind of that guy some nights. But you're right. I mean, there was he never had like his Vinny. So your point with Isaiah, never had a Vinny Johnson next to him, yeah. You know, coming off the bench. And you talked about that level of physicality and intensity. And look, I know that he's a lightning rod because Isaiah rubs a lot of people the wrong way. He was certainly the leader of that team.
He was. And I use him as an example to say small guards can succeed if it's built right.
Jalen Brunson, I looked it up. He's 6'2".
Yeah. It's a different era of basketball, if we're honest.
I think it was a tougher era.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
I think to be 6'1 and survive in that time period.
Oh, are you kidding me? If LeBron had to play the Pistons, he'd take up football.
All right, man. Day-day good stuff. Coming up, we got to talk some college football. One leaves, one stays, and one is trying to get up out of there after he said he would stay. Mm. It's Dukes and Bell.